Blog Talk Radio.
You there, Diane?
Yes, I thought you were going to start with introducing the show.
No, I just, you're the host.
Okay, well, good morning, everybody. This is Rob Batista's Blog Talk Radio Show, and I'm a guest host, Diane Teagarden, a longtime friend of Rob's, and he has this fantastic story that he shared with me that he has written called Street Angel. So I would really like to jump right into the interview with Rob. And Rob, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, Diane. And I first want to thank you for guest hosting and giving me this platform to talk about my book, Street Angel, and other things like my mission and how I want to use my platform to help writers. So I'd like to start off by just reading the prologue of my book and my story, Street Angel. And
That sounds great.
It goes, Mama, I want you to know that I love you. I've always loved you, and I'm truly sorry for the hurt I've caused. I can see now that I've changed more than I realize. If I die, I want you to read this so you'll know what I've been going through this past year and a half. When I pulled out the $100 bill from the money Abuelita gave me, I thought of her words, para tu colegio, for your college. And there I was spending away my future on a 25 caliber pistol. They say positive people sometimes do negative things. Well, I guess that's why I'm buying a Gat, probably for all the wrong reasons. But on this day, July 1st, 1995, it seems awfully right to me. The guy who helped me get the gun, Lucky Sanders, tried to pull my coat. He was only a year older than me, but a world ahead in streetology. We were in the Boy Scouts together, and he always thought of me as a little brother. You sure you want to do this, yo? He asked, clearly concerned. I nodded. Whoever dissed you, you know there's other ways to handle this. You don't have to shoot him. I pushed my wireframe glasses back up on my nose and nodded again. Don't be fronting, son, Lucky warned. You pull out a rod, you damn sure better have the nerve to use it. My eyes darted, my head started spinning, but I managed a week. I know what I'm doing, yo. Lucky stared at me like I was bugging. Then his lips parted into a knowing, ironic smile. On the down low, money, I guess nowadays, even good kids carry guns. Yeah, Mama, your 16-year-old son, Moises, a good kid, is buying a gun. Since I've wanted to be a writer from the time I was 7 years old, I decided now would be a good time to start telling my story. Here it is. So that's the prologue.
You know, when I read it, I'm honored that you shared the story with me, and it really fired me up to help you promote it and get it out there, get it to as many people, as many kids as possible, because they need to hear, you know, the reality in what you were talking about and what you're sharing with the world in Street Angel. What year did you write this book?
Street Angel was published in 98. I started writing it in 95. But the legend of Street Angel goes back to first The City Game, which was my first story on gun violence. What happened was around 1992, I went to a candlelight vigil in Brooklyn. Two high school students were shot down in the school while changing classes at a local school in Brooklyn. and they had a candlelight vigil, and I was invited. I went there, and I met one of the mothers whose son who had just been tragically shot down, and the look in her eyes, Diane, will stay with me for the rest of her life, in my life. So what happened was, I said to myself, I have to do something about this teen gun violence that at that time in 1992 was exploding all over the country. So I said to myself, I have to write a story that can help teens deal with it and also educate teenagers and others of the dangers of gun violence. So I wrote a story called The City Game, a 29-page novella about two basketball players in Jersey City. The night before a big game, they get caught up in gun violence. And it was like a little Jet magazine. I published it. So what happened was I sent it out to schools. And you know what's amazing is that when you are on the right track, when your vision is envisioned with the universe and with the universal power, it conspires to help you. So doors were opened up in the schools. I sent it to New York City. I sent it to the Jersey City libraries. I sent it all out. And these teachers were saying, this book is a Jet magazine type book, but its story is so great. It's so powerful, and it will help the kids. So there was one teacher in mind that used it in her English class, and she told me the next day that the students loved it, and she asked me to come in and do a reading and talk to the kids. So I did. It was at a school in Brooklyn. And when I was reading the book and reading from the story, some of the kids got up and said, you know, Mr. Batista, a lot of us are not carrying guns to shoot and to kill people. A lot of us are carrying guns for protection. So right. I thought about it a lot, and I said to myself, you know what? Even though kids carry guns for protection, it's still not good. There's still dangers. You still can shoot somebody. You can shoot yourself accidentally. So I wrote Street Angel behind that to say carrying a gun does not make you a man or a woman for that matter. And that's how Street Angel was born.
Well, it really touched me because the authenticity of your characters, you know, the kids that you wrote about just made me wonder if you, you know, had been a teacher, had worked with children, you know, that age, because and I wondered, were the characters based on individuals that you knew or had met?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because my son Josh was living with me at the time, and he was around 15. So what I would do is I would listen to him talk to his peers, to his friends, and then that's where I got the vernacular, you know, and the cadence and how they talk, how they dress. And I even had him read the story. And, you know, one of the main reasons I said, first of all, I'm not going to use profanity in the story. I want to teach the kids that you can basically talk and communicate without using profane language. And then the other thing is I wanted to make sure I can get this book into the schools. And I wasn't sure if I had a lot of profane language if they would accept the book. So I went out of my way not to use profanity. So again, you know, I wrote this story specifically for teenagers, specifically for the young people. Right. And again, you know, I must have hit a home run because the minute the book was published and the kids read it, you know, they just took to it and loved it.
Absolutely. You know, I can see teachers because, you know, saying this would be a great story that we could, you know, have the kids read and then write their own versions of it or their own experience of it, because it's very hard to get, you know, kids, the students involved with writing projects and things like that. But if they're writing something they know and they're showing that, hey, this is relevant, this is something that's happening and people do care, because a lot of times they feel people just don't care about us. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. And when I went into the schools in New York and Chicago, a lot of the kids said, you know, I related so much to Moises, because of what he was going through, because he felt unloved by his mother, because his father did not live with him and he didn't really know his father, because he felt that his mother treated his younger brother better than he treated him. There's so many backstories with Shay and how, and the scar on his face, how metaphoric that is. But to answer your question about how the students took to it as well, I had a lot of students draw pictures based on the story, and then I also had a lot of students write me letters about the story. So if it's okay, I'm going to read a letter or two from students who wrote me. Okay, and this first letter is by Nathan Blackman, a high school student, and it's from November 9, 2010. And he says, "Dear Rob Batista, my name is Nathan Blackman, and I am 17 years old. I attend East Brooklyn Community High School. I am also a musician. I play the bass and sing really well. I am a very poor reader, but this book you wrote makes me want to become a better reader. It's really interesting, and it makes me think. I say I'm a poor reader because I don't really like to read. Stories that don't interest me, I think, are boring. So I just gave up on reading in the past. From reading Street Angel, I've learned a lot of different things. For example, gun violence does not solve anything. It only brings pain and sorrow. Gun violence makes mothers mourn for their kids and feel tremendous pain. I have also learned that carrying a gun doesn't make you a man. It makes you a punk and a fool. People are dying every day for stupid things, mainly youth between the ages of 14 and 20. We as a people need to come together and try our best to stop the violence between different communities. Violence isn't solving anything. It's just black-on-black violence. Blacks are killing each other, and it's making our race decrease. I believe that Street Angel is a realistic book." So that's one of the letters. And, you know, when you receive letters like that, number one, it validates all your work, your hard work, your struggle, and lets you know that you are definitely on the right track, because the audience that I wanted to reach, I'm reaching.
Right. Now let's hear another one. Do you happen to have one from a female perspective?
Yes, and that's the next letter I'm going to read. And it's,
"Excellent.
Dear Mr. Rob Batista, my name is Marilyn Bourne, and I'm 17 years old. I go to EBC High School. I'm a singer, and I was born in Guyana, but I live in Canarsie, Brooklyn. I'm the kind of reader that only reads when I have to for school. But for my English class, I read your book, Street Angel. I learned a lot from this book. It showed me that life is too short for all the little drama. My life was forever changed because I used to be a very hot-headed person, and I always turned to violence. I realized that violence is not the answer. You can find other ways to solve your problem. Street Angel is a realistic book because it's about things that have been happening for years. People are still not doing anything about it. I just wonder, will they ever wake up? How many people have to die before our people learn violence is not the way? I hope soon, because I'm sick of seeing RIP, rest in peace, everywhere. When will we as a people see that it's time for the change is now? It has been going on for far too long. It's time to stand up and fight, not with our hands and not with our words, not without words of empowerment. So in closing, I say thank you, Mr. Rob Batista, for caring. Thanks for wanting to make a change." Wow. That has the hairs of my end standing, my hair standing up in the back of my neck. These letters are just so powerful.
You know, the fact that you got these teens to write something on their own, in other words, that evoked a response that they wanted to connect with you and say, yeah, you're right, this is real, this is happening, this is sad. In all the work with Street Angel that you've done, I'm wondering, have you developed any ideas on how this violence can be curbed? In other words, you know, we can't cut the gun source off at its source. But how do you feel would be helpful to these kids to get them out of that life and to get them, because the main character did not make it out of that life. So I was really hoping for a man. I was pitching for him so hard.
Yeah.
I was hoping that he was gonna, be one of the outstanding people who walked away from it all. And then at the end, when he did, decide to get a gun and then he got blown away. I didn't think he was going to use it at the end though. I honestly thought that he was going to reconsider and then he got killed. And it just left me not only stunned and sad, but so empty, because I thought, God, he could have really gone out into the world, worked with these people, his own people, kids, and made a difference. So what do you think is going to turn it around?
See, but that's reality. You see, I, in the beginning, in my first draft, Diane, I had with Moises graduates from high school and goes on to Columbia and lives happily ever after with Shea. But then right before I was ready to go to press, I said, you know what? I can't. I have to make this book as real as possible. I have to put a face on all of these kids that we see on the 10 o'clock news that are gunned down every day, mm-hmm. 10, 11, 12, 15, 18 years old. So I decided to make Moises die at the end. And right. So many of the students say, I love your book, but when he dies at the end, it made me cry. Why did he die? Why did you have to kill him? And I said, Moises had to die so others can live. See,
right.
Once
no,
you
I get
understand,
it. The impact was
mm-hmm.
intense. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why, for the listeners who are now haven't read the book and then hear you say he dies, I just wanted to just let them know why I decided to do this. And, the answer to your question about what's the answer, well, what's always been the answer in my estimation when I wrote the book and when I go to schools is education. Is educating about the dangers of gun violence, educating that carrying a gun doesn't make you a man or a woman, educating that it doesn't take any courage to pull a trigger. See, it's about verbalizing.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I'm thinking, as a writer, I'm thinking, first of all, I wanted more as far as the story ended at a perfect spot. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying as the next chapter in that book, if possibly, or, the second book, if possibly you could, find it, possible to write something for one of his colleagues, one of his other friends who did make it out, who did go on to, maybe not, aspire so high, but at least make it out of the hood and live, either there or be somewhere else and survive and have kids. In other words, to show that they're not everybody gets killed. Because you know how kids are so literal. They're going to say, yeah, that's real and that hit me, but that means that if Moises couldn't do it, with all his stamina and his intelligence and his will to thrive, if he couldn't make it out, who could? If have you ever considered making another story that dealt with the same group of people where maybe one of his friends, decided, hey, I'm going to make it out of here. I'm going to become something. I'm going to, graduate from college. I'm going to survive. So, has that ever occurred to you to have another story that ended that way?
No, I won't write that story. At the end of Street Angel, his friends Flub and Shay and Timmy Young all go on and to Juilliard and Howard University and they move on. They survive. They made it. Moises was just one person who basically survived until he died and was at the wrong place at the wrong time, but I will say that what I want to do, my vision, Diane, is to make a film, an educational film of Street Angel, and then breed dialogue at the end. Then take it to schools and have question and answers periods, and then take it to school and say, yes, he didn't make it, but others can. And this is a way that you can, by educating, by loving
right.
yourself. And that's another right. thing when they ask me what's an answer. One of the answers is self-love. You know, it's like Moises said at the end of the book, the guy that was trying to shoot him really wanted to shoot himself, but he was too afraid to do it because he had a lack of self-love. So one of the main things that I go in to say, you know what, you have to love yourself. You have to respect yourself. If you don't love yourself, nobody's going to love you. If you don't respect yourself, how can people respect you? So my main vision now is to make Street Angel into a film and then take it from there. Make it into an audio book and then have a lesson plan. All right, but again, mm-hmm. schools are the main thing that I want to get back into, and basically by a film, because you know you can reach so many people with a film than you can a book. You've seen in the letters where the students say, "I hate reading," but they'll watch a film, and with a book
right.
you can reach thousands. With a film, you can reach millions. And then, of course, you can reach
right.
people all
right.
over the world, because Street Angel, that story of gun violence, is not only in L.A. and New York and Chicago. It's also in Rio de Janeiro. It's also in London. It's also in Paris. It's also in Buenos Aires.
Sure.
It's also in countries
sure.
all over the world. So if we can
sure.
make a film and do this educational film, we can reach kids all over the world. So that's my goal.
Absolutely. I think that is, you know, definitely worthwhile. And, you know, possibly working with some, you know, local kids that have a film class where they actually, you know, because a lot of, you know, kids nowadays have classes where you actually do a project. So you could make it with students who, you know, need to do it as a project and get them involved in it. And then you have the resources of the school to produce it. And, you know, then you could promote it. And I absolutely agree that it's a universal concept of, you know, poverty, hopelessness, guns, it's all, and drugs, it's all wound up together. And it's universal. It's everywhere, you know. Who was the very first person that you shared this story with? I have to know that. Do you remember?
Well, yeah. It was my two best and dearest friends who started my publishing company, Word is Bond Writers Press, with me back in 1992. We were sitting in a car one day, and, you know, I had sent out some manuscripts and got rejection letters. And one of my buddies said, you know what? His name was Murph. And he said, start your own publishing company. You know, and that way you can go ahead and publish yourself, maybe eventually publish other writers. But, you know, go ahead. Don't let anybody stop you. You know that your stories are good. You know, I mean, right now there's so many werewolves and vampires and dystopians and horror. You know, right now to me, those are the most popular genres. And I'm not knocking those genres, but I always feel that sometimes we need to go back to the age of John Steinbeck, who wrote East of Eden,
mm-hmm.
The Grapes of Wrath, of Mice and Men. You know, stories that reflected the times. We need to go back to James Baldwin, who wrote If Beale Street Can Talk, stories of reflecting the times. And I'm starting another wave of saying, you know what, we need to publish our stories, whether it be in audio format, ebook, paperback, or whatever, that talks and helps people, you know, deal with what they're going through. Stories of realism,
right.
realistic stories. And that's what another thing that I'm poised to be on the verge of doing as well. You know, I mean, I gave up my company, Word is Bond Press, a few years ago when I relocated. I kind of thought I was going to be in semi-retirement. But then, you know, I saw the gun violence and I reread some of the letters and I said, you know what? This, no matter what, you know, there's still kids killing kids even right now. And we need to just get Street Angel in the city game and what we're doing back in the forefront. So, you know, that definitely, again, is the mission.
Yeah, that, I mean, it sounds like you have a cohesive plan. And the great thing about the internet and the fact that everyone's phone now is like a tiny internet is
right.
that this could be, it could just absolutely, you know, go out like wildfire. I would suggest, rather than, you know, offering it for free, just a dollar. You know, even if you ask for a dollar, I mean, if you get a million hits, you know what I'm saying? So, and plus, I mean, but I mean,
exactly.
that's accessible. Anybody, any kid has a dollar, or any person has a dollar that they could, you know, PayPal, ePay, and all that. So, you know, and I tell you something, it's not that I am necessarily, you know, base value things on money, but most of the world, that's the way they fly. If it doesn't cost you
right.
anything, you feel like it's not valuable. So, but a dollar would place it at, you know, at a level where literally anyone, any student, any person, could download it. You know, a one-time usage type thing, or hear you read it, or hear, you know, if you want somebody else to read it, or read it with several people and do it in a studio. You know, however you want to do it. There are so many venues that you can use now, and then put it up on your radio show page to download and listen to, you know, wherever people are. That would make it very accessible.
Yeah, and you're so right about how so many people, you know, offer things for free, and it's not really valued. I've heard so many stories from authors that they say, you know what? I put my story online for free, just telling people, hey, it's out there. And he says, nobody's reading it. And you're 100% right, Diane, you know, value. And like you said, even for a dollar, I think it would definitely be worth it. And, you know, with kids and with younger people, millennials reading stories on their cell phones and tablets now, you know, what I'm trying to do, what I'm looking into doing is just finding the right platform to put Street Angel, put the City Game on, and my new story, Imagination High, which is a full novel, and I'm in the process of editing that. It's about five kids from different nationalities who've gone through middle school. Now they're seniors in high school getting ready to graduate, but that last senior year is a doozy. They go through so many trials and tribulations in that last
year.
The story is called... The story is called Imagination High, and it's mm-hmm. that and more. And I had so much fun writing it, and it's just on the precipice of being published. And, you know, I'm just really excited about that. So, you know, my fingers are in a lot of pies, and it's an exciting time.
Well, you know, for the listeners, give your, you know, contacts where people can go and, you know, when it's going to be available, you know, where they can download it, where they can, you know, whether it's a, you know, website or a phone number or something, you know, where can they contact you about getting this story?
Yeah, I definitely will give my contact information at the end of the show. I wanted to just talk a little bit about me going to Chicago and how that turned out. What happened was, you know, I published Street Angel, and I sent it out to schools all over the country, L.A. and Chicago and New York and Jersey. And one day I got a call from a student in Chicago, and he said, we love your book, Street Angel, and my teacher wants to know if you can fly out to Chicago. We'll pay the expenses. We'll put you up in a hotel and talk about your book at our Teen Summit Against Gun Violence. We're going to have it in about a month, and we'd like you to come out. And I said, I'm there.
Wow.
And I went out to Chicago and went to a school called Benito Juarez High School in the Pilsen section of the city. And after I did my presentation, I never forget, I was getting ready to leave, and a young teen girl stopped me, and she said, Mr. Batista, I just want you to know that your book changed my life. She said, I always thought violence was the answer. I believed in gangs because in our community, it's all about gangs. There's generations of gangs. The son, the father, the grandfather are all in the same gangs. And I just want you to know that you changed my life. And let me tell you, that That, I'll never forget that. That hit me so hard, you know, to say, you know, if you could just change one person, like everybody says, then you've done your job. So I know we're running out of time, Diane, and before we leave, I'd like to recite a poem that I believe that Moises Colon, had he lived, probably would have written. And if that's okay with you,
be honored to hear it. Yeah, absolutely.
It's called Who. Who's that man in the tree I see, dangling like rotted fruit by the leaves? Who's that boy in the prison cell, waking every morning to a living hell? Who's that guy with a gun in his hand, thinking a weapon will make him a man? Who's that kid on the battlefield, killing for freedom and dying for real? Who's that child in the funeral tomb? It seems like only yesterday he was born from the womb. Anger, fear, hatred, death, it starts right after he draws his first breath. Who's that man in the tree I see? Who's that person? Who can he be? Let me move closer so I can see. Lord have mercy, that man is me.
Oh, God.
So,
and that's all
I
these kids really have to look forward to unless things change. And I think Street Angel is a fantastic vehicle, you know, to help that change come about.
Yes, and I want to ask you if you have any parting thoughts about Street Angel and gun violence. What do you say?
Well, it hit me pretty hard. There's violence, gun violence everywhere, and I think that this is a universal story that needs to be told so that it will fire people up to decide how things can change where they are with them.
Thank you so much. And once again, Diane, thank you for being my guest host and giving me this platform. And I do want to say that this has been the Author's Lab with me, Robert Bautista, who is generally the host. But, of course, I was the guest today. And the guest host has been the divine, my good friend, my spiritual friend, Diane T. Garden. Thanks again, Diane, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You're welcome, Robert. Anytime, man. Bye-bye.
Bye now.